If I can jump in right here on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, I went to a painting of love, the painting of Love Over Hate, from a black family, a couple here in Midlothian, in the city I'm living in. Somebody painted their house with graffiti. And my pastor, the church I attend right now, was called. It made the Channel 8 news. It's a lot of bullying that's going on in the school for some incoming people from a different state that have moved here. This was just this past Saturday. The hatred that exists here that has come forth is still as plain as the time as what he's talking about when that woman was bold enough to say that to him. Because a lot of these people only see patriotism in skin in the skin game that they see. But democracy, the what I believe exists, is predicated upon integrity and the morality of the mind and the heart of the person that understands what democracy really means. When you listen to some of these patriotic songs, they want you to stand there, put your hand over your heart, do the pledge of allegiance. Listen to the words of it. You're pledging to a patriotic existence that is presumed or have terminated not to be of every skin color. And that's what Reverend Demery experienced. And I can know the hurt because I went through my apprenticeship program to become a lineman from a black neighborhood. Well, we had what we needed in our neighborhood, so I never experienced racism until I hit the workplace. My lead foreman on my crew kicked me in my butt and laughed about it. Upset me so bad, being 20-some years old. I dropped all the material I had in my hand. I turned around and hit him right upside his head and knocked him out.
I know that's right.
My superintendent came out of the meeting and saw this guy laying on the floor and asked me, "What's wrong with Willard?" I said, "I think he's sleepy."
I was picking up my stuff. He's taking his afternoon nap.
Right.
Get him his blankie. He's taking a nap.
He had nutties on his head. He just
real loud. To finish the story, let me tell you what they did to me. At that point, I was still what they called a third-class lineman. So I was at the bottom. You go from third class to bottom of the third class, top of the third class, bottom of the second class.
Apprenticeship.
The apprenticeship program. They were determined to make my apprenticeship harder and much more difficult because they termed me as having a bad attitude. Now, when I went in and I had to sit down before the superintendent of the district, he came to me and says, "You have a bad attitude, young man." I said, "No, sir, I do not." I said, "If you come in and kick me in my butt and I have anything to do with it, you're going to probably get the same thing as you got."
Exactly.
You don't have the right to, well, you got a bad attitude. And they They put that in my file.
They needed to understand that should be in my file. That you need to understand, you do not get to hit me.
That's right.
It's not that kind of party.
And he broke the law. Not only, yeah, that's assault. He assaulted you, and you have a right to defend yourself.
Now that's a battery. That was he left actually laid hands on. That's a battery, partner.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
I just responded because I had never been exposed to that, and I wasn't afraid at that time. I was a big guy that came off of the football field, was in great shape, And I was determined not to let that deter me from reaching the goal that I wanted to reach because they were so so against me, but Reverend Demery, I feel your pain. I can feel the hurt that you still feel just even talking about it.
That's incredible. Hey, I think both of you for sharing those stories. I have some more of my own, but I want to get to what Reverend Demery, he's done some research on this. I'm going to go to, we're talking about, again, I want to talk to, we talked about our children, okay? Child poverty, we talked about that, okay? We talk about the politicians, these corrupt politicians. Now we're going to talk about the preachers, and I want to tie all that in and get you guys' opinion on how is that contributing to some of the mental illnesses that we are suffering in this country. Let's try this. Okay. Oh, let's see. Here we are.
There are many popular pastors today who teach in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus!
They say things that sound kind of Christian.
Do you know something? The minute that blood sacrifice was accepted, Jesus was the first human being that was ever born again.
They invite people to put their faith in Jesus Christ.
Would you pray with me? Just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you prayed that simple prayer, we believe you got born again.
But as you listen more and more to these popular pastors, you can't help but get the feeling that something's not quite right, that something really, really important is missing. Let's take a look at and examine 50 of the most troubling popular Christian teachers around the world today, progressing to the most shocking one at the end. Kat Kerr is a self-proclaimed prophetess who claims to receive divine revelations about heaven and supernatural miracles. Either Kat Kerr is unbelievably self-deceived or she is blatantly lying to impress people. She says that she has been to heaven thousands of times.
For anyone that's new, Kat's been to heaven, along with a lot of other people, even ones that I know, personally have had visited heaven. You've had hundreds or thousands of times.
Thousands of times.
Yeah, and so...
Thousands of times. Kat Kerr goes to heaven with more regularity than you and I would go to the bathroom.
I'd like to think that Kat Kerr is merely crazy, but it remains that her teachings are extremely dangerous and should be completely avoided.
Number 49.
Sid Roth hosts TV and radio shows featuring alleged miracles, prophetic revelations, and supernatural encounters that are highly contested as fringe or heretical by mainstream Christian denominations. The gift of tongues is supposed to be a miraculous gift of speaking a language you do not know that comes from God. But here is Sid Roth saying the quiet part out loud and reveals the truth about what he and most other popular Christian teachers are actually doing when they are supposedly speaking in tongues.
I can't do it for you, but I can tell you how to pray in supernatural languages. So you start speaking like little baby words and say them as fast as you humanly can. If you don't move your tongue and speak, no one else will do it. I said fast. You can do it faster than that. If I had a gun,
you can do it faster than that. If I had a gun in your ribs, you could do it faster. Can't you just see the Apostle Paul saying something like this? Do it faster, faster. If I had a dagger in your side, you could do it faster than that. Does that even remotely look like what we just saw illustrated? Does that even remotely look like what we see in the book of Acts? Absolutely not. This is pagan. This is the flesh.
Of course, Justin Peters is absolutely correct. What Sid Roth and so many other radical charismatics are doing is absolutely pagan and not at all Christian.
Number 48.
Brandon Robertson is one of the most popular progressive Christians in the culture today. Brandon has taught many unbelievably non-Christian things. Here's a fascinating clip of Brandon exalting sexual immorality and then being interrupted by something.
The future of the church and of our world is truly in the hands of what Martin Luther King Jr. called the creatively maladjusted. Maybe minorities, sexual and gender minorities, have something to teach the church about dying to self, about new life, about...
I'm preaching. Amazing how the lights stayed on in space.
That is not a sign of God's judgment.
Okay? All the lights went off except the one in space.
We can't be certain whether this was just a coincidence or an act of God, but what we do know for certain is that Brandon is about as far from the Christian faith as any non-Christian. Rob Bell is a pastor who, among many other things, questioned traditional views of hell. Here is Rob on the Unbelievable podcast being unwilling to say that he believes the biblical orthodox view of hell.
But is it fair to say you do believe in a universalism in the sense of that everyone will ultimately freely choose to be won over by the love of God?
I don't know. Do you?
Well,
do you?
And here's Rob demonstrating that he has compromised on far more than just the issue of hell.
I think it's great that you all made a conscious choice to include marriage in here.
Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. Why?
Because one of the oldest aches in the bones of humanity is loneliness. I mean, it's one of the things that goes way, way back. Loneliness is not good for the world. And so whoever you are, gay or straight, it is totally normal, natural, and healthy.
Okay. I'm going to stop it right there for a second. We'll come back.
His song is a hip young ministry known for its rock concert-like worship services and former pastors' scandals. Carl Lentz used to be the ultra-popular celebrity pastor of Hillsong in the United...
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there just for a second. We will come back because I want Dr. Demery. Dr. Demery, I saw him moving back in his seat, moving forward in his seat. Again. These corrupt preachers, corrupt politicians, and they control many lives in different ways. Or are they all the same?
Control or at least influence.
Influence. Major influence, Dr. Demery. The danger. And how does that tie into mental illness, the mental illness epidemic that we are suffering?
Well, I think it goes back, and I'll be real brief.
Take your time.
I want to hear what everybody else has to say. And William, you've heard this story before. Danny, I don't know if you were there at the time. You may have already departed, but the church that we used to go to was New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. And the pastor there, I'm not going to even mention his name because he's dead and passed on, whom I love that man. I really did. And everything that he did, I just kind of really almost stood on the tiptoes of every word that he said. But one day we were at a church meeting and he began to say some things that were just outrageous. They were outrageous. I won't really go into what it was, but it was scripturally wrong. It was doctrinally wrong. It was every kind of wrong you can think of. And my mom happened to be there. William knows my mom, and you probably know her, remember her, at least Danny anyway. My mom was a feisty tart. She didn't care who you were. If you were the Pope, if you were the king of Siam.
Five feet, 110, was it 110? 5 feet?
5 feet nothing.
5 feet nothing.
100 pounds of nothing. But I'm telling you, if you were wrong,
I was present.
You were wrong. Oh, you were there, Danny, at that meeting. You remember.
You
know Pastor was wrong.
I think
I got up and I had said at the end of the meeting, I said, I'm angry at all of you here because none of you, I was talking to the preachers. Because we had, I don't know, I think it was about 10 preachers or something, like 10 associates. I said, I'm angry at you for not saying anything. I said, I almost mentioned his name. I said, you know I love you. I said, you know that I accept you as my preacher, as my mentor, but you're wrong. You are wrong. You are so wrong that if I don't say anything, like Isaiah said, the very stones will cry out. So I think what we have to use as a standard for a lot of those people that get caught up with some of these corrupt preachers, William, and you've been around probably more than I have, William, like that one nut that told you, you don't do what I say, you do what I tell you.
And I told you got to listen to me because I'm your pastor. I said, I don't give a damn who you are.
you've been around some knuckleheads.
Yeah.
I know you've been around some knuckleheads. And so the thing that it takes courage. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit for an individual to stand up and say, look, not just walk out, but point out to them where you are coming from. It's from the pit of hell.
Right.
And ooh, I rebuke right. you. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And let them know, because if they don't get caught off guard, they'll continue to do whatever they want.
There was this
one story, William, and then I'll end with this. There was this one story. We had talked about this on one of our other shows. Jesse Duplantis and Kenneth Copeland were having this conversation. Now listen to this. This was on, I think, the same clip that William was showing. Jesse Duplantis said, "Well, you know, God asked me his opinion on a particular issue." This fool said God asked him. What the heck does God need to ask his opinion for?
Nothing.
And I said, where in the heck do you think you're coming from? And nobody said anything. So I think it takes people to give a voice to set up. And you know, for and correct me if I'm wrong, Danny, but you know, in the Baptist church, if the preacher's acting a fool, the deacons are supposed to take over.
And
they're supposed to be able to say, look, you know, what you're doing is wrong. But we've gotten so afraid of preachers, so afraid of their power and their influence. And I tell people at my church, and William can witness this, I tell them, don't take my word for it. Go read for yourself.
That's right.
And I tell them that. And I said, if I get to acting crazy, I said, you guys have the right now to kick my behind out of here.
You know, I've heard him. Mind,
or if I get to talking unscriptural or doing something stupid, like this one preacher did, the South African preacher, had the people out eating grass. Can you believe that? He had
them
out eating grass.
And yeah, they ate it.
And then there was another preacher. Had a belt and was whipping the people.
That's right.
And they stood there and took that licking?
Of course. They came back next Sunday.
Okay, yeah. Okay, let me stop.
I don't need to see me right now. Position in this church, we're going to whip you.
Man.
People were sitting there letting themselves being whipped by this foal. Excuse my language. Fool isn't the right word to say, but that's what they were, and that's what he was.
Oh my goodness!
To be eating grass, and I can see William laying there when the guy came there to whip him with a belt. He got.
Oh no! Look, I will. I do. I'll go to my trunk, get my Louisville Slugger.
I would not have lain there.
No, I wouldn't lay down on it either.
I might have done a Danny Tisdale and laid somebody out.
But, absolutely. But going back to your point though, Dr. Demery, you say that when the preacher's out of hand or going left or right or whatever it is, it's up to the deacon supposed to, tell him, right? The problem is the preacher is not selecting the deacons that will approach him that way. That's how I got kicked off before I got on.
All right.
He didn't want me. He wanted yes men.
Yep.
And when he found out that I wasn't a yes man, he said, no, bro, Brown got to go.
Exactly.
I said, I don't care anyway.
Danny, correct me if I'm wrong. Deacons pick their own deacons within their board. They don't allow the preacher to pick the deacons.
Ooh.
Deacons pick deacons. And that was one of the things that was happening at our old church. He was picking the deacons he wanted. He actually said, I'm picking the deacons I want to pick. I said, wait a minute, that's not doctrine.
Deacons birds of a feather. Birds of a feather.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's right.
But they do. They've done that around here.
Yeah.
Insulated themselves from being fired by choosing their own.
Isn't that something? See, there's couple. You guys see the connection here? Politics, because at one time there was a division between church and state, if I understand correctly.
It's still supposed to be.
It's supposed to be.
But hey, let me stop you for just a second, William. Look at our money.
Mm.
What's and I'm not saying this is wrong, by the way, but what's printed on all of our money?
Oh, well, you got to. That's right.
And I'm okay with that. And so let me tell you a quick story. I read a story a long time ago where a wealthy man in front of one of his people stopped at a restaurant bent down and picked up a penny off the pavement. And his buddy said, as wealthy as you are, why are you picking up that penny off the pavement? That penny means nothing to you. And this wealthy man said, you're wrong. It does mean something to me. It reminds me, in God I trust. So whenever I see a coin on the pavement, a penny, a dime, a nickel, I don't care whatever it is, I will pick it up and I'll put it in my pocket because it reminds me, in God we trust.
Okay. Well, yeah, I
we don't have a total separation of church and state, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, we should. Because that's you that means that somebody's talking on both sides of their lips. Uh-oh. It's supposed to be okay, separation of church and state. And why in the world do we need to have, and there is a reason, and I haven't gotten to the complete bottom of it, why we even have In God We Trust on a dollar bill anyway? Okay. Now you got some people out there who will take a dollar bill and then they go to a whole house with it. Okay. They had the same. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
With God's name on it.
Look.
Or by
then look at the back of that.
Roll up $100 bill and snort coke through it.
Yeah.
With God's name on it.
See the point. And then if you look at the back of that bill, what's on it? There's a pyramid with a big eye coming through it. Is that God's
eye?
Come on.
The all-seeing eye.
You know, that's why when I hear these politicians that have been accused of doing nefarious things, okay, I'm talking about throughout our whole political system here, from the local to the state to the federal, it doesn't matter. We've got corruption. This problem is we've got corruption that has pores in the well. That is the big problem, and it's our problem because going back to Nixon, think about this. The doggone Republicans, for the most part, helped impeach Nixon. It was none of this, straight down party line, good, bad, or the ugly. We're going to stick with our side. We're going to stick with the other side. That is absolutely ridiculous.
And on either side.
Yeah, but now I'm going to tell you, okay, hold on, man. And this is where I need to add some factual content to this. In a few days, the government may shut down.
Yep.
Now, how many people are you hurting? You're hurting your law enforcement? Okay, you're hurting your military, your veteran, doctor. Hey, help me out. Take your mic off, Dr. Jim. I'm going to need your help on this one. And Danny and Ann, I want you to judge, how many people are you hurting? And you know who's causing this? The doggone Republicans, Mike. The Democrats are not that. Okay. That's why I do not like this both sides issue. Everything that, Social Security, who wants to take it away? The Democrats. Medicare. Who wants to take it away? I mean the Republicans, I'm sorry. Republicans want to take these programs away. Funding the government, okay, they want to take that away. All right? Funding the FBI, funding the Department of Justice, okay? All right? They won't even pass the George Floyd Act to help police officers from killing us out on the street. The Republicans are doing that. There's no Democrat that ever voted for those things that these guys are cutting. Okay. We can go on and on. Okay. They do not like, okay, they love affordable health care. But you know what they don't like? Obamacare. These idiots don't know it's the same doggone thing. So that's why I will not go along with this two sides argument. I've said over and over and over and over again, there are some great, great Republican people out here. They just happen not to be in Congress. Because they were voted out. And they were voted out for a reason. And they were voted out because, you know what? Greed. Because if you notice.
On both sides.
Mike, nope.
One agenda on both sides.
Nope. I'm not going along with that, Mike.
I'm very unhappy with both sides. Well,
Mike, I can understand that, but you have to understand who's holding up progress. Okay, because the Republican, Mike.
Both sides, because.
No, it's not true.
No, it is true. When they take a vote in Congress, how do the Democrats vote? Party line.
If you vote for restrictive gun laws.
They vote party line. Don't vote for what they think is going to work or not work. The Democrats will vote for party line, and that's it.
Okay, guess what? I go along with it to a certain degree, and I'm going to tell you why. Because they're voting for the good stuff, and Republicans won't support them. That includes social programs. That includes programs like the DOJ and things of that nature. When the Democrats, they vote, and they vote powerfully for the right stuff. All right? You've got gun violence here. The worst in the world per capita. Right here in the United States.
That's not true.
It is true. It's bad enough. More mass shootings than anybody, Mike.
We're not number one in mass shootings.
Yes,
either.
We are.
Switzerland and other places. I'll bring you stats for next week.
We are not
number one in all this stuff. That's a Democrat talking point.
I don't care if we're number five. It's still too much.
I don't think we're in the top 10.
Yes, we are.
I'll have to look, but I don't
please
think we're in the top 10.
Because I know I checked this out.
And by the way, America has more guns per capita than anywhere else in the world. If guns were the problem and Republicans were a problem, you would know it because we have more guns by capita by probably 1.5 times anywhere else in the entire world.
You're making my point. And we have more mass murders. How many mass murders we've had? What? Well, yes, we have.
Not more than anyone else in the world.
Excluding wars.
No. I'm just talking about like mass shootings.
No, Mike, you don't hear about this in France, England, Germany, or anybody. You don't hear about this.
Have to say about the corrupt preachers.
Oh, let's get back. Let's get back to corrupt preachers. Now, why don't we do this? All right. Hold on. Where do we leave off?
Corrupt.
I know that part. But
United States, and he was even good friends with Justin Bieber himself. But listen to what Lentz says when asked about ending the lives of pre-born children.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from, what
working
you believe.
Through it, like talking
yeah,
about things.
I mean, God's the judge. People have to live to their own convictions, and I think if I have to tell you.
Clearly, there is more of a concern about being acceptable to the world and the culture than there is about being faithful to what Scripture clearly teaches. Andy Stanley is a megachurch pastor who calls for adapting Christianity to modern times. One example of Andy compromising to try to adapt Christianity to modern times is how he teaches people to stop saying, because the Bible says so.
When it comes to anchoring, what am I anchoring this to? I'm not anchoring because the Bible says, I quit saying the Bible says 9 years ago. I don't think I've said it yet since, unless it just slipped out. Quit saying the Scripture says, quit saying all that, because I quit believing it? No, it's a change of approach.
However, pointing people away from the Bible is not at all what Christian pastors should be doing. The Bible is our central source of truth, and to teach anything otherwise is doing people an extremely dangerous disservice. Mike Todd is the young pastor of a very social media savvy megachurch in Oklahoma, Transformation Church. As Christians, we are called to stay far away from sin, yet here is Mike Todd lightheartedly talking about getting as close to sin as he can to put on an entertaining Easter service.
Mm. So I said, we're going to go to the edge on this. And they said, Pastor, how far on the edge are we going to go? I said, we're going to do everything short of sin. Oh, y'all, so I felt
a megachurch, too.
Their booties got tight right there.
Mike also seems to disapprove of what God has revealed in the Bible. He's ashamed of what God has decided and wishes God did things differently.
If I was there, maybe I would have told him, is there something in the middle you could do? Like kind of a little maybe if somebody, well, I was born like this. I don't know how I feel. I feel you. And I wish that there was an option of other in the kingdom. No, I'm serious. As the pastor's like, so what do you think about? I don't know.
Todd White.
Todd White is a street evangelist who is known for public healings that have been criticized as staged or exaggerated. It's always a telltale sign when a supposed Christian teacher not only doesn't recognize how dangerous of a false teacher Kenneth Copeland is, but even goes so far as to praise Kenneth Copeland, which is exactly what Todd White does.
Kenneth Copeland has taught me so much. You guys can think what you want. There's people that have said, I've had partners that are partners with Lifestyle. They're like, well, now that we know that you're in cahoots with this false prophet, we don't want to partner with you. I feel bad for you. I do. I don't need your partnership. It's not about that. See, you don't know that Kenneth Copeland is one of the most generous people alive on the planet.
And here's Todd White communicating the heretical idea that he doesn't sin anymore.
He came and gave me this pure heart, and I've never violated it with anything.
Because I love Jesus. My hands are clean. My heart is pure. I love him with all my heart. I'm going to stand before him, and he's going to say, well done. What's he going to say when you stand before him?
You can actually have the word so strong inside of your heart that you never have to slip. People are like, well, that's false. That's not true. Well, you're wrong. I live with me.
You sound like Trump, little brother.
Rod Parsley is a charismatic Ohio pastor who promises financial blessings for people who donate to his ministry. Here's Rod Parsley shamelessly trying to get people to give to his ministry for the wrong reasons.
Oh, you have a seed, and that seed today is the seed of greatness. You may be great right now, but you're about to be greater. You may be blessed right now, and many of you are, but you're about to be blessed like you've never been blessed before, and some of you need to step into blessing, and you do that with an act of faith.
Yes.
$300. Why is that significant? It's significant, number one, because it got your attention. And it's significant, number two, because that's what the prophet of God spoke. You say, but I may not have $300 right now. Well, what do you have? Do you have 100? Do you have 150? Take a step of faith toward God right now. But everyone who wants to move to
believe in me, and I will set you free. God,
$300. Release it to God and watch.
Our motivation for giving should not be because we expect God to bless and repay us. It's simply because we recognize that God deserves our worship.
Oh man. Whew. That's a whole lot to
Lou Engle is a revivalist preacher who is also extremely charismatic in his theology.
Okay.
Here, Lou is sitting on stage with both Benny Hinn and Bill Johnson talking about the significance.
That's criminal.
But it's nothing, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. The Catholic priest used to do this. What's the term they used to call it? Selling, what did they call it? And basically, you had to pay the priest in order to,
tithings?
What's it called?
Tithings? Yes. Indulgences. Selling indulgences. You had to pay the priest in order for him to pray for your relatives
your soul
to get out of hell. It's nothing new. They've been doing this for centuries. Centuries.
That's incredible. So they're going to bail them out and then they're going to heaven. Is that?
They're trying to pray somebody out of heaven. I mean, out of
for
hell.
Small bitch. Fee.
For small fee.
Right. That's a low fee of.
For a small fee.
Oh my goodness. That was this preacher. Remember, Dr. Dimmer and Ann? We did a show a few years back and I was talking about this preacher that was selling tickets to heaven for $500 each.
Stop it.
I can't remember his name.
But wait, there's one more thing.
What?
For $500, you also got a free toaster.
He got a toaster. Okay. All right. You know, when I could afford it, you know, I like to fly first class. So is this going to be a first class flight? I don't know, Danny. Jim Baker?
Flight, hey, William, the first class flight, they're serving tilapia.
Oh my gosh.
Inside joke, you guys. Sorry. That's between me and William.
Wow.
Fried tilapia.
Danny,
$500 in fried tilapia. Save your soul.
Do you know the thing that I've only played a few of these guys, and this was the top 50 worst preachers. How many churches are there in America? And how many of these cats are corrupt? And out of these, so you got see, it's almost like you have the mega churches, okay? It's a bunch of those. But then you have these other churches that are also doing some corrupt things. How far does this go? How far does this go? And the question is, do these guys not fear God? They don't think God exists? So they will scheme this way?
They use it as a hammer.
You know, because I couldn't.
They use God as a hammer.
You know.
Exactly.
I'm just lost for words. Danny, please.
There is so much to be said when we see the false prophets do their deal. God